This year, the topic is going to be the halachic financial service industry. Now, to begin with, this title is somewhat of a misnomer. If you look through halacha, if you look through the Torah, the most prominent mitzvah when we're dealing with financial services is im kesef tava es ami. There's a mitzvah that say, if a Jew needs money, to give him an interest-free loan. Clearly, in the Torah's view, financial services was not intended to be an industry. A person that had money was expected to lend it to someone less fortunate than him. And the entire concept, the idea of charging interest, is something which is treated very severely in halacha. Now, as we mentioned previously, there's a concept of a heteriska. The Chachamim devised ways to structure deals which, while it's not a loan, there's no interest, it's a deal, it's an iska that mimics a loan, and the ultimate effect is similar to charging interest. And a heteriska is permissible. Chachamim devised it for whatever reasons there were, and one is certainly allowed to rely on a heteriska, and one is certainly allowed to engage in such transactions. However, the Chafetz Chaim writes, it's important not to lose sight of the mitzvah of im kesef talva. And it's important that if a person is involved in the banking industry, and if his capital is lent out with iskas, apiheter, still, you should set aside a portion of your money for a gemach, a portion of the money in order to lend out to people who are in need without charging any interest. And that way, you won't lose sight of and you won't forget the mitzvah of im kesef talva es ami. Now, as we mentioned before, if you're in the financial services industry, you're borrowing money, you're lending money, you'll need to use a heteriska. It's only an issue and only needs to be used if both parties are Jewish. If you're borrowing from a non-Jew, or if you're lending a non-Jew, the issur of ribis does not apply. Now, today, things are usually not that clear-cut. What happens if you're lending to a corporation, a Jewish-owned corporation? Now, there's a famous tshuva from the Igros Moshe that says that if the borrower has no personal liability, the money is non-recourse, it's being lent to a corporate entity, there's no person who is a priest b'alchayv mitzvah, there's no person who has an obligation to pay, it's simply to a corporate entity. The Igros Moshe held there was no issur ribis. And even if the corporation was completely owned by Jews, as long as the owners are not liable for the funds, a heter isk would not be required. Now, this heter is certainly was not accepted universally. Some do follow it, some don't. If you're in the industry, if you're involved, you should certainly speak to your Rav, speak to your Meir Hayro, and follow whatever psak he tells you. However, you have to realize that even if relying on this Igros Moshe, there are two important conditions. The first is that the heter applies only when the borrower is a corporation, when the borrower is not personally liable for the funds. If the lender is a corporation but the borrower is an individual, all opinions agree the issur ribis would apply and they would require a heter iska. The second condition is that even if the borrower is a corporation, very often banks, especially today, require a guarantee. So in those situations, although the loan itself may be to a corporate entity, if a Jew guarantees the loan, whether he's the owner, or then you're back to a problem of ribis, and a heterisk would be required under all circumstances. On the other hand, if he's not personally guaranteeing the loan, even if the owner pledges additional collateral, since the collateral itself is non-recourse against the owner, that would be permissible. Now, many corporations today are not so easy to classify. Are they Jewish or not Jewish? Publicly owned companies, some shareholders are Jewish and some shareholders are not Jewish. So just, this is going to be the topic of another shiur, but just to sub, the bottom line is, according to most Paiskim today, as long as the majority of the shareholders are not Jewish, and the minority Jewish shareholders do not have a controlling stake, and doesn't necessarily mean controlling, it means they're not involved in running the company, they don't have a say or input on company policy, then we consider the corporation to be non-Jewish and a heter school would not be required. The fact that there are a couple of shareholders and the fact that they may have voting rights, every shareholder has voting rights, that, al pi halacha, according to many poskim, would not play a role. So, let's assume you're dealing with a bank, and the bank is primarily owned by Jews. So, you clearly would need a heter iska if you'd like to borrow money from them. This leads us to a problem. As we explained in the shiur about a heter iska restructures the transaction. It's not a loan, it's a partnership. It's a partnership with a certain theoretical element of risk. Banks are very heavily regulated. Banks can't enter into partnerships. Banks lend money. They're governed by many different governmental agencies, and there are very strict limits on the risks that they can take, for good reason. At the end of the day, if a bank defaults, if a bank has a problem, the FDIC is going to step in and cover any all the depositors. So the government has a very strong vested interest to make sure the banks don't take too many risks with ultimately the taxpayers' money. So the question is, if the heter iska is a partnership and banks can only give loans, how do these two concepts coexist? Now in reality, if you think about it, every time you write a heter iska, so as we mentioned before, it's a partnership. Well, on your taxes, is this interest income or is this profit from a business? Clearly, we treat it as interest income. Now in halacha, that's not problematic. Because in halacha, an iska is an iska. It has halacha of a partnership, and that's why the issur of ribis doesn't apply, again, provided all the conditions are met. The fact that the government chooses to view this as a loan, and therefore tax it in a different way, that doesn't change the halacha. The halacha is the halacha. As far as Hilchos Ribis is concerned, we'll look at it our way. The fact that the government would like to treat it as a loan doesn't bother us in any way. You report it on your 1040, however your accountant tells you to, and that won't impact the halacha. Now, with banks, it's a little bit more complicated. Because technically speaking, it would seem a bank should not legally be able to write a heter iska. Besides for the fact that there are direct legal limitations, there are SEC issues as well. On a prospectus, every public company has a list of all of the different business risks that this corporation is subject to, all the risks you should know before investing. And many of them list all sorts of very far-fetched contingencies. They want to be covered. Acts of terrorism, all sorts of different contingencies. If the bank has a heter iska, so we have to add another to the list. There's an iska risk. If there's a default, the person can bring eidim, there's a loss, he'll be off the hook. So it would seem that a person would have an obligation to include that in the prospectus. Now, it seems, certainly not an expert in law, but it seems that the banking regulators ignore an iska, and they look the other way, and for good reason. Although iskas are extremely prevalent, the entire Israeli banking industry operates under a heter iska. At the end of the day, bringing witnesses, making shvuas, just doesn't happen. It just doesn't happen. It's virtually unheard of. Therefore, the regulators seem to take the attitude, if it looks like a loan, it smells like a loan, and it sounds like a loan, it probably is a loan. And they look at a heter iska as simply a religious document that doesn't really change the transaction. And therefore, as far as the bank is concerned, as far as the government is concerned, it's a regular loan. Now, that itself doesn't create a halakhic problem. Because, just like we mentioned before, the government can treat it however they want. If in halacha this is an iska, this is a partnership, the issur of ribas will not apply. Where you can run into problems is, what happens if the person borrows money from a bank, they sign a heter iska, and then wants to bring witnesses, and he wants to say, I don't have to pay the money back. There's a business loss, I'm able to verify the loss according to the standards set by the heter iska, I'm off the hook. Will the bank and will the government allow the person to default? So this is very unclear. Again, I'm certainly not a legal expert. There are a certain number of articles written on the matter. It's certainly very possible, if not likely, that at the end of the day, the iska would not be honored. Nevertheless, if the bank is run by an Orthodox Jew, and I'm borrowing from him, and we sign an iska, which in halacha is binding, I have the right to say that these people have a cheskas kashrus. I have the right to say that if I ever bring these witnesses, again, almost unheard of circumstances, if I'm able to bring those witnesses, he'll do the right thing, and he'll make sure the bank will honor it, and I'll be off the hook. People have a cheskas kashrus. And as long as both parties are observant, as long as they both care about hilchos ribos, you have every right to rely on that. However, if you're dealing with an entity that is not controlled or managed by people who respect halacha, you have to be much more careful. And then it's highly questionable whether you can borrow from them and execute a heter iska if you know it will not be honored and cannot be honored. So you have to really know what you're doing. You know, it's in certain cases, and I've unfortunately seen this quite often, a bank will write a heter iska, but they'll write on the bottom of the heter iska, this is this document is for religious purposes only, is not intended to be enforced in secular court. Now what are they doing? They're telling you, I'm signing this piece of paper, but it's meaningless. I'm not going to honor it, and don't bother trying to bring witnesses or trying to make an oath. If that's the case, the iska is meaningless, because it's a loan transaction. You have no way of there's no out. There's no risk on behalf of the lender. You will not be able to default, even if you're able to prove a business loss. The iska is totally worthless. In other circumstances where it's unclear whether the bank will honor or will not honor it, then it really depends on the confidence you have in the management. If the management are people who respect halacha, you have the right to assume, give them a cheskas kashrus, you have the right to assume that they will listen to it. On the other hand, if they regularly engage in other transactions that violate hilchos ribos, and they're just doing this as a favor for you, in those cases, if you determine that you will not be able to enforce it in the event that you need to, then you certainly should not get involved and certainly should not sign a heter iska with them. Now, just to briefly, there's one other important point that needs to be made when dealing with banks, is that many banks do not write a heter iska for each client, for each borrower. They have what's known as a heter iska klali, a general heter iska hanging on the wall in the bank. Now, many poskim accept a general heter iska when you're dealing with the bank. However, again, it needs to be something that the parties that is real, that it's publicized, and it's available. That in the event that there's an issue, you need to bring edim, shvuah, whatever it is, that you need to be able to get access to this heter iska klali and to be able to insist that the bank honor it. It is, if it's a document that was never executed correctly, it was never approved by the board of directors, and it was just sitting in a back office somewhere, that would not really have any meaning, would not be able to change the nature of the transaction, and would not help out la halacha. Thank you.
This presentation has been brought to you by the Orthodox Union in conjunction with the Beis Chabad Institute of Talmudic Law, the Center for the Study and Practice of Monetary Halacha.